Welcome one, welcome all, step right up, ladies and gentlemen, Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 65, coming at you right now. Here we go. Portal Gaming Podcast is a podcast brought to you by a store called The Portal, which is in Manchester, Connecticut, and recently got a shout out on Board Game Breakfast on Dice Tower, because we are a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. We were excited about that we were ranked by Tom Vassell as an excellent game store, which is really cool. So we thank him for that. And you can find us on the internet, www.timemachineportal.com, on Facebook, The Portal, and on Twitter, at PortalGaming60. Howdy, everybody. I am your host, The Brant, and with me is...
Your co-host, Brian.
Woo! Here we go. Two in a month. We did it.
Yeah.
Or I guess it's a new month now. Happy October! But two in, the appropriate amount of time. So that's awesome. So we're excited for that. This episode, number 65, is entitled Younglings. We're going to talk about teaching and playing games with kids and why we think that's important.
Yeah.
Is really kind of our discussion for all that today. So here we go. We are on the eve of VonnerCon. This is the... Yeah,
you excited?
Yeah, it's a convention at my house. And there's a bunch of people coming. Anthony and Paul from Cardboard Jungle are going to make their way over with their boys.
Nice.
And come hang out. So that's going to be good. Last year I had 108 people over 4 days, 72 games played. So we're going to see if we can shatter some records there.
How do you take up that attendance? Is it just through the door? Or
turnstile.
Okay.
Yeah, I set up a turnstile and everybody has to walk through. No, we literally put tally marks on a whiteboard.
Yeah.
So that's 108 people. Like, if you came all 4 days, you count four times.
Yeah.
Also includes a bunch of kids, but whatever, everybody counts. They're all in my house eating right. food and playing games or terrorizing my basement, whatever they're doing. They're there, so that should be exciting. The store is just a month away from the Extra Life event. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know about that,
so
tell
yeah
us, Brian,
Saturday
you know better.
November 4th is that sounds right mm-hmm. First Saturday in November, we're going to be there running a board game day from midnight to midnight. We're going to be open, you know, all the way from Friday to midnight Saturday. And we're really trying to raise awareness for the Connecticut Children's Medical Center. Extra Life has a huge presence there. We come in, run a lot of, like, tournaments and games, and I believe we're putting up a charity auction as well. So if you're interested, you know, definitely touch base with us, see what you can do about either donating some games or trying to come in and participate in that. So... Yeah, Saturday, November 4th. Check us out. We'll be there all day and, you know, playing games and having a good time.
Nice. So. I will be there. I will not make 24 hours for this one. It's a little too much this early in the school year for me. But I'm going to be there. I'm going to bring Zephra.
I don't think you need to, like, clarify that anymore. Like, I feel like you can just say you'll be there. Right? Like, I don't expect you to be there.
Yeah, I'll be there.
But you might be if the Yankees are still.
That's right. Oh, let's not go there. They're down. We're recording on the night of the game, and they're already down 3-0. So hopefully I'll be celebrating after this, but we'll see.
So,
yeah, awesome. But that's a big event, definitely, like, one of the biggest events, and to raise awareness and money for that charity is super important. And one of those reasons that the Portal is a great store, to support a great cause and let people have fun doing it, and just a unique environment to do that in. So I think that's a really cool thing to highlight. Awesome. Let's jump into some games. What do you got, Brian?
Yeah, I guess the ones that are really fresh on my mind are the ones that I helped, you know, specifically teach at the recent Silk City Board Game Group. Mm-hmm. So what I brought with me were Whistle Stop from Bezier Games and Master of Orion from, it's through what, Cryptozoic?
Yep.
Okay.
Hobby World.
Hobby World and Cryptozoic in the U.S. So, you know, those two games, I thought they went over really well. You know, Whistle Stop, I don't know, have you talked about this one?
I did, the last one, yeah. The last one, I actually did both of these, but go for
it. Oh, yeah, fair enough. So, yeah, really neat pick-up and deliver style game that, you know, went really smoothly once we got people going on that one. They seemed to be having a good time. You know, it seemed like there was definitely a cool progression as the map started to fill up and people got the hang of how to like build an engine and mm-hmm. such. So that one went pretty well.
Pun intended.
No, that was not. Yeah. So yeah, Whistle Stop went over really well. I think that's definitely a hit from Bezier Games.
I called it a buy.
Yeah, it's worth it.
I said it's a buy. I think it's a great game. So I think it's solid. Is it going to be a top 50 game? Probably not, but it's right there.
Right. It was easy to just run through as well. Like, it didn't have a huge barrier to get onto the table. I mean, setup is rough, but once you get past that, like, teaching and playing, those run really smoothly. Yeah. So, it was a fun game. And
you're right, it does fall in that category of those games you're like, oh, this is easy, and then you start teaching it, and you realize 5 minutes later you're still, like, qualifying rules.
Yeah.
It's, like, a little bit longer than you want it to be, but that's what gives it the depth.
And, I mean, I guess there are a couple things where, you know, like, once you've played it, like, once you kind of get that thing where you know exactly, like, okay, this does this, it's obvious. Like, you kind of get that feeling, like, I don't really need to explain how gold works. And, you know, like, it's just, like, a couple things that slide by that don't really matter a ton. But, you know, once you get a good sense of how to explain the game, I think it works really well. So yeah, that one went well. I didn't get a chance to hop in any of the games. I think we had it goes to five, but we had groups of four playing it. I was trying to bounce around and do a couple other things as well. The other one that I said, yeah, Master of Orion, I taught that one, a really neat tableau building card game, and that's really great too. So I really enjoyed that one. I played that a couple times with the people just to kind of give them a sense of like how to get going. The last one we had to cut short, so that one seemed a little weird, but it was still fun to kind of give the people that I was playing with a sense of how to actually play that game and, you know, work within the means that they give you. So I don't know, I'm really liking this one. It's definitely a hit for me. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I feel like after a couple plays, like, I still would rather play Roll for the Galaxy, and I'd still rather play Terraforming Mars, but, I mean, Roll is arguably your favorite game, and Terraforming Mars is my favorite game from last year, so those are juggernauts, right? Yeah. But it fits right in between those games to me. Like, it's a little more complex than Roll, with a few more decisions and a little bit longer, and it's definitely less complex than Terraforming Mars. The engine building is interesting because you, like, set it up, and then you have to rebuild an engine. But what was the time frame for people like playing a fresh game, new to it?
Oh, the first one we rushed through that. That one went the fastest I've ever played that game.
Okay.
I don't have a sense of how long it went, but it didn't feel like
45 minutes or something.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like it was like on the low end of what I think the box says 45 to 60 minutes, and gotcha. I think it was on the low end of that. Like, that one felt really smooth and just, you know, the people I was playing with, there was, like, no AP with them. Like, it was just
boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. And that kind of surprised me a little bit. Like, I feel like this one's one where you have to kind of iterate it out a little bit. You know, try to think through how to work your system. But, you know, it went smoothly with that group. And I think, you know, I think that's a good sign of the game, too.
Yeah, because the other night you came over and Jeff and I were playing it. And I think we were on, like, round five or six. We just finished five. We would have had three to go. But those first five had only taken us 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So you were like, oh, no, you can finish. But you had already come once to my house and had to go. And I was like, no, it's fine. We'll stop. But we honestly probably would have finished it in another 10 to 12 minutes. Like, we were flying. Boom, 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 boom. So, yeah, with two of us, it was going to be just over a half hour. So,
yeah,
it's pretty quick. So in that sense, it might be the same as Roll for the Galaxy in terms of time once you get it down. But there's a lot of reading on the cards and putting everything together. But
yeah, no, I think it gives a nice spread. You know, I don't think most nights are a little bit like it's a little too late typically for me to play Terraforming Mars with my wife, sure. Like after my son goes to sleep and all that sort of stuff. So this kind of fits in that window.
Right.
And we just got to 80 plays the other night for Roll for the Galaxy. So,
oh my goodness.
Yeah. So I think
that's awesome.
It gives us some variety too.
I played that recently too. Ooh, look at this. Oh, I played with my wife on September 18th.
Nice.
I love this app. I can actually remember stuff. Cool, I got two to hit here. First, though, I must mention that we now... Sorry, not you. Me and my wife both have Through the Ages app. and it is on nonstop play. That game is so good. It will not surpass Terra Mystica, though. From having the app. Because some people say, oh, once I get the app, the game moves up. I still like Terra Mystica.
You like Terra Mystica
more? I don't have the app.
That doesn't make any sense to me. Isn't how much was this app?
No, we're not going there.
How much was
$10.
How much is Terra Mystica?
$10. I think, though, this implementation is flawless. I don't know what the Terra Mystica implementation is.
Yeah.
But Through the Ages is a game I can play either way. I don't think I want to play Terra Mystica regularly, game after game on my phone. But I could be wrong because I haven't tried it. But Through the Ages plays just as well. Mm-hmm. Would I still prefer to set it up? Yes, because I am a fully tactile person. So if you told me you could buy a book, you know, on a hardcover book for $10, or you could have it, you know, on a Kindle for 99 cents, I'd still prefer the hardcover book. Cost aside, same thing with the game, right? The game is $70, $80, the app is $10, but I'd still prefer to sit to somebody face-to-face and play the game and move all the cubes around. I don't care about the fiddliness. But the fact that I can play it on my phone, and I don't play a lot of games on my phone, given that I didn't buy Terra Mystica, it's my number one game of all time. But this one is so good. It's so good. There's challenges. The AI is solid. It's really good. And they made just a couple tweaks where, like, when you flip the event cards and it says, oh, make a choice, and every player has to make a choice, in the, like, if you play Async, it doesn't have you make the choice until the start of your turn. So if I draw a card and I make a choice and then you're supposed to, I don't have to wait for you to do that. I can take my turn. So it changes a little subtlety of strategies, but not enough to change up the game. Like, you don't know what they would choose to negate, but it's totally worth it to save the time, you know?
Do you log those plays?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't count those as plays. Even though I would probably, you know the game a lot better after those plays, for sure. It's a flawless system. Like, you can literally click to see all of your cards and do everything like you would, or you can just drag and drop things on the main screen, like just drag your little pieces and make it happen, drag the cards down, or you can click on a card to see all the text. So it has both. It's not like you have to see everything all the time, but if you can't remember something, you can see it. It's amazing.
Now, do you think you'd buy the Terraforming Mars app? Do you think you'd pick that one up? Or
I don't think so. I think I got Through the Ages because I knew I could play it with people.
Do you play any of the campaign style stuff, did you say? The challenges? You've been doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And would that be worth it on its own?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yes. Okay. They're great. They're totally good. I'm playing one now where you get one leader for the whole game. They cannot die, but you have them, so you have to go with them for the whole game and see if you can win. So anyway, that's that. Cool, I got two other games. I got a chance to play Armageddon. So this is from Queen, and so it is a post-apocalyptic game, for sure. But basically, the whole game is like auction and card drafting. And so every player has a board, and you have a whole bunch of buildings and empty spaces for buildings. And every round, you play six rounds, you start with some equipment that you can get. You put a bunch of cards out for equipment equal to the number of players. And then you stack people on top of those, or citizens for your area. A random number that tells you from a bag. There's different colors. And then you put out buildings, and you put on positive and negative effects on them. Again, random from a stack. And then, that's it at the start of the round. Every player moves up on the Marauder track, so these are people that are attacking you from the outside that you have to get rid of. And then you bid. So you bid in those three locations. You get a one-time bid. So you take behind your screen, you have your workers or your citizens. This is very Keyflower-esque. They're color-coded, but you can bid any color on a space. So it doesn't have that bidding system, but it has the color-coding. And you make a bid, and then the next player makes a bid, and the next player makes a bid, and any ties go to whoever bid there first. And you bid all your units, you're going to get them all back. And you can bid for, you know, first choice on the equipment cards and the new citizens to join. But amongst those citizens are marauders. So if you take a card that has red on them, then you move up on that marauder track and you have to fight them off at the end of the round. You can bid on who gets first choice of building. You can then You can take the buildings and build them. You can overlay previous buildings, and then you can use your workers on the buildings to gain various effects. Points, getting rid of marauders, like there's watchtowers where you can gun down the marauders who are attacking. And then the last one is all the workers you bid there, you can use that turn. So those are the ones you can use. And each of those bidding tracks has a whoever gets in first gets a bonus, whoever's in last gets a negative. So it's all this auctioning one time. But I'm just discovering that auctioning is so good in some games. Like, at first it was just, it turned me off. Like, I did not want to play games with auctions. But I'm finding all these games where I'm absolutely loving the way they're implemented and understanding them. So it was really neat. It was good decisions, but you went with them and you were okay and different ways to go. So then, yeah, once everybody does that, then you lay out your buildings and you place your workers. So you've got yellow workers, blue workers, you've got a purple leader who's a wild, and you've got green workers. And it shows you. So it might say if you put two green here, you get this benefit. Or if you put one yellow, you get this benefit. So the yellows are better, and you get to draft those. Then at the end of the round, you have like a certain number of houses, and that's the number of citizens you can retain. So if you overdraft, you have to get rid of them, and you lose victory points.
Okay.
And then every time you gun you have a marauder track, and you have to gun those down. If you don't, you move up on like a little track that gives you negatives. Eventually, you could lose your leader. If you go too far up that track and you're losing points in it around, but every one of those you gun down, you get a victory point for. So you're basically trying to get that track down to zero and score points, and then just goes through rounds, and then there's a halfway scoring for certain objects if you know you have them. All those objects you collect are like set collection at the end of the game. They all have various points for how you can score. Getting gasoline, getting booze, getting cars and trucks built with the right parts. Yeah, so it plays six rounds. We were a little slow, and we were a little bit finding our way through, like, reading the rules, because I had read it and learned it a while ago, and then we were going to play it, and all of a sudden I was like, I had one of those, like, I read the rules 4 months ago.
Yeah.
I can't quite remember. So we were a little slow going, but I really liked it. I was pleasantly surprised. I was like, oh, this is something I would play again. It was really neat, and the theme was, like, kind of pasted on, but it worked. And components were good. I mean, it's really a card game with the boards that you put your cards on, you know, in terms of that, which I guess is what Through the Ages is. It was really... So the one negative was just our point spread was pretty wide. I just got a big lead and basically held it. I didn't have a lot of end game scoring and other people did, but it wasn't enough. So it was like 137 to 108 to 72. So it was a pretty good gap there. So I definitely want to play it again to see, is there always kind of a runaway leader? Mm-hmm. Is that an issue in the game? That would be the one thing I would worry about. Like, and it seemed for me, I was able to keep those marauders down every turn and then not get the negatives. Whereas if you can't, you just keep piling up negatives and it makes it tough. There is a reset phase where that resets after three rounds. So,
do you know how many can it play up to?
It plays three or four. That's it.
Okay.
Because of all the auctioning. Yeah. That's the way it's got to go.
You may have said that already. I don't know.
No, I don't think I do. So then I got to play Mini Rails. I don't remember if you ended up talking about Mini Rails.
I don't think so.
And I don't know who the publisher on Mini Rails is. This says it's by Mark Garrett, but I don't know who the publisher is, although I recognize that little face.
Yeah.
So Mini Rails is a mini train game. And so there's a little board. Oof. There's a hexagon board with a bunch of hexes on it, and there's six different colored stocks, and there's a track, and you lay it out first, second, third, fourth, fifth player, fifth, fourth, third, second, first player. That's kind of the order.
You got that, everyone?
The snake, the Catan snake.
Yeah.
So first player goes first and last, and the last player goes in the middle twice. And you take a bunch of the colored discs, you throw them in the bag, and then you put... 2x plus 1. No, wait, you put double the number of players plus 1 out on the board, and then you have two actions. So when it's your turn, you can either gain stock by taking one of those discs and putting it at 0 on your stock board, or you can put it out on the board to build rails and increase or decrease the stock for everybody of that color. And that's it, and you have to do one of each every round. So if you take stock, then you have to build rails.
Unless you cheat, like I tried to do multiple times.
Well, cheating, then you can change it.
No, but it's easy to go back.
Yeah, and all the players just do this, and then at the end of the round, one disc is left over. That's put on the track. You go through the round track. You go through six rounds, and at the end, if a color isn't on that round track, it's removed from your board. So if it was positive points, if it's positive removed. Money, it's removed. If it was negative, it's also removed.
Are you sure? I thought it was...
If it is on there...
No, yeah, it would be removed, right? If it's not on there, it's removed. And it is on
yeah.
there...
Yeah. Oh, if it is on there, then it's removed, right?
No.
You don't score the negative?
If it's on there...
If it's on there, then you would remove it because you don't score the negative.
Yeah, I mean...
So you can get positive, negative, and you just add up your score. So they're generally pretty low. So the game I played was 8-7 to 6-5. Like, that's how it figured out. And it's all about player interaction. The whole game is reading the other players, seeing what they're doing, following the correct people, not following other people, you know,
don't you hate
threatening
that?
Things. No. Because the game was 25 minutes.
Right.
Well, I guess I do an area control. That's where I struggle with that, right? But this, I don't know, this just felt different. It felt like I could read the table.
Okay.
Sometimes you can read the table and go, there's nothing I can do. Mm-hmm. I have to plan, you know, I have to take an alternate route to try to plan. But it's really interesting. You can threaten things. You can lower your own stock to try to lower other people's, to put yourself hopefully in a better position. You were saying in your game you were finding that turn order was kind of the king.
Yeah, and I mean, we had played, that was the first time, you know, all of us had played, and it felt like locking yourself into the front was significant. Like, that felt like it was, you know, more beneficial because the first few rounds didn't feel like they had set you up for much. And then once you kind of get to that last couple rounds, then you're talking about, like, that's when you really need to make up that
right.
that difference a lot of times. So it felt like it was just worth it. If you ever got a chance to be in front, just pick that. Be first in turn order so you can just keep being first, keep being first, keep being first until you have a make or break turn where, you know, you get one thing that kind of swings you in the lead. That's what it felt like the first game. And then the second game, it felt the same way. But it was nice, though. Like, we were kind of winding down the night. And, you know, Dave just said, like, oh, hey, you want to try this? We could get this to the table pretty quickly. So we, you know, we got it out, played a game. It was so fast, we got another one to the table as well, like, you know, before
oh,
we
nice.
Closed. So it was just, like, one right after the other where we weren't even sure we were going to get, like, a you know, a full game of a normal type in. So it was neat. It was worth it.
Yeah. No, definitely cool. It's right in that awesome, like, I mean, I'll quote Heavy Cardboard, but the thinky filler is what it really is. You know, it's that short time length, but I didn't feel like I was just kind of wasting my time waiting to get to the next game. Like, it was a great solid game. Hey, speaking of Heavy Cardboard, they are doing their patron drive right now. And they're really cool, so definitely check them out. They're definitely bringing a unique element to board gaming with covering heavy games that really they found a niche nobody else is really doing. And so definitely check them out. They are friends of ours, and yeah, they're doing a really good job. So there's that with them. So anyway, that's Mini Rails, Armageddon, Master of Orion,
yep.
And another game that you talked
Whistle
about.
Stop.
Whistle Stop. You talked about... so all really good
and through the ages
and through the ages. And the good news is the Yankees tied it up. It's 3-3. So there we go. It's going to sound really weird afterward. Who cares?
Why?
We'll already know what happened. Yeah. Whatever. So those are the games that are on our table. Let us know what's on yours. All right. Kind of quick episode here. Cause we're just going to run through this, topic. And whatnot, but hey, that's how it goes. The next episode hopefully will be a bunch. We have different lot of games that I've played, so we'll talk from there. So we wanted to talk about, you know, something I think about even with the store. So I've mentioned it a whole bunch now by 65 episodes, but you know, we've got the Portal, which is the kind of a gaming store for teens and adults and whatnot. Not that it's not for kids. I'm not saying that, but across the street. We have the toy store, the Time Machine Toy and Hobby, and there's a lot of kids and family games over there, and they don't necessarily, there aren't both in both stores necessarily. So I definitely think it's something that is important, it's part of that community, and I just thought it'd be good to talk about why. Why do we play games with kids? Why do we teach games to kids? What's important about that? What's good about that? I thought it would be kind of an interesting piece. So... I would kick us off a little bit here. I think, you know, playing with my daughter particularly, so I'll start there, is it's just great family time. Like, it's great. We sit around a table. We are interacting with one another in meaningful ways because there's decisions, there's questions being asked, there's things happening. And then casually, other conversation comes up about your day. So you're not just kind of sitting there going, how was your day? What happened today? But somebody will mention something that happened to them, and it's happening there. So I think it is positive, quality family interaction time, even if it's just her and I one-on-one. So, for example, we'll go to a coffee shop, and we'll play a game while we're at the coffee shop, and it gives us something to do while we're waiting, and we have conversation over that. And so I just find that some of the best times we're interacting is doing that. So that's kind of that personal, you know, with my own family and daughter, that's so key. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely been that way. I know when we were on vacation, just, you know, with my niece and nephews and all that sort of stuff, like, it was just great to kind of work within that system, give, like, a little bit of structure and kind of have, you know, some logic puzzle sort of stuff going too, and getting people thinking through that sort of stuff, like, just, you know, like, thinking through all the situations that, you know, that you could definitely see the gears working, like, and, you know, it wasn't like we were out to just, you know, focus on the game either. Like, we were there having fun together, and it was at the point where, you know, they would, you know, want to play games and kind of suggest it and say, like, hey, let's, you know, let's spend this time together and play a game or do whatever. And I don't know, I really enjoyed that. I know with my 2-year-old now, he's like, he's asking to play games. And I know that's not really like, like, we're, it's the one that's worked well, like I said before, was Orchard. And mm-hmm. he's like really, really focused on that game right now. Like, I've played that, like, you know, like 12 times or something with him in the past couple weeks. Nice. And it's just been great. Like, he wants to play that. Yeah. And I think getting him to, like, to focus on, you know, like, the cooperative side of that is nice as well, where it's just he's not the focus. Like, it's not all on him. Mm-hmm. You know, doing everything. So it's like, he'll, you know, he'll be happy when we get, you know, pick up fruit when it's not his turn or something like that. But I really enjoy that, and it gives him, you know, some of that structure too. So,
yeah, absolutely. I think that's key, because I'm not one to be like, these are the rules and the rules are followed and this is what we do. But that's what a game does. A game needs mm-hmm. the rules, because otherwise it's right. just pieces in a box. It's just a toy, I guess. And so it's really nice to be able to sit down and be like, this is how this works, and this is how this works. So I even think of all the way back to playing Candyland. I didn't have as many of the Hobba games or other things. But Candyland, which is not really a great game, but it's so good for a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old to sit there and learn, oh, it's now my turn. This is when I flip a card. Then I follow a board, just to understand, like, a board, a map, you know, whatever it is, to be able to look at that and analyze. Like, we don't realize how much learning there is there. Take that in. To understand, like, turn structure and all those kind of things. And, yes, there's cooperative games, but also to understand winning and losing. You know, that's a good thing for them to understand. I heard a good thing, which was, like, you know, I don't know exactly what it was, but I feel like when your kid's under 5, like, you know, you can play, and winning and losing is okay if you let them win or whatever. But at 5, it's a good age, and nobody's here to decide what that is for somebody else.
Right.
But I'm saying, I heard that. It's like, it's okay to beat them. You know, you don't need to beat them mercilessly at a game or whatever. But, you know, at that point, for them to understand, like, what it is to lose and how to react to that. And it's funny with my daughter, like, she could care less. Like, right. winning and losing are just not, it's more like, am I understanding the game? Am I playing it? When does it end? She's interested in all those rules. What do we do? What is this character? Look at this artwork. All that stuff, you know, engages her or doesn't engage her. Right. I've definitely played games where she's done 15 minutes in. And so I'll say things like, well, you agreed to play, so we'll play 5 more minutes, you know, right. to try to get to some point. And I think that's okay. You know, it doesn't always have to be, we'll play to the end. If it's yeah. not going well, I can sense that. But there's no pieces. And then the other thing that's so good is you're just getting away from a screen, you know, and this is across the board, whether it's your kids, my kids, kids at school, kids at Epic Arts where you did the board game thing. Yeah. You're just getting everybody away from screens, you know, right. for hours. It's one thing to go on your phone to plug in your score for your app or look up a rule. That's just part of using a phone as a tool. but to actually, you know, yeah. put them away and be like, this is a place where we're not using phones, where, you know, even when it's not your turn, we're going to pay attention and be with people and right. them to, like, understand that element, because you should interact with people in between turns, you know?
Right, and even when we were going through and teaching games for the middle school group mm-hmm. and all that sort of stuff, like, it worked really well to just have that icebreaker, too, you know? And getting to know the kids, like, through the games was a lot easier than just, like, right. standing in front of them and saying, hey, I'm an adult, listen to me. Like, once you're playing with them and kind of getting at that level and really, you know, working within it, giving them the structure and showing it to them without, like, beating it over their heads, you know, that worked really well, too. And I think I've seen it where, you know, now at events outside of the board game situations, like I'm talking to the kids and just, you know, seeing them after the fact, and, you know, it's now like a friendship that's kind of come out of that too. So I think that's really neat, and I don't think it would have happened without the board game side of things leading right. into it.
Yeah it's a great way. Yeah, good icebreaker piece. So then, you know, in addition, they're fun.
Yeah.
So that's really good. But in addition to being fun, like, you know, whether it's educational, that word is always hard to struggle with, because it depends on what you're trying to educate in, but I think they certainly are. Whether it be the theme, the topic, I mean, if you take things that are historic, you're straight out just getting those things on the table. Lisboa crosses my mind. Now, I'm not playing that with my daughter. But it crosses my mind as one of those right. recent ones where you're like, there was a flood, a fire, and a tsunami, and an earthquake all in Lisbon in the 1500s, and everybody goes, oh, I want to know more about that. So you see adults even, like, interested in something like that recently. So I think those topics work. But whether it's educational or just stretching your mind, it's a good mental right. activity. I mean, it's great for that. It's a fun way to have a solid mental activity. So similar, there's a lot of studies on, like, you know, kids' success with school and learning related to playing music, like being part of that, like music. There's those, I don't know that those same things exist on board games, but I would imagine if they did studies, you know, there would be a link between those, that, mm-hmm. you know, the more board games you're playing to some extent, you know, the better you're able to cope with different situations, because that's what you're constantly being thrown with, different games, you know? So I think that, you know, educational, mental stretch, whatever you want to call it, piece, is super important, and you're doing it in a fun way, you know, for the most part, unless it's a bad game, then it's not fun.
Yeah.
But then, you know, there is that fun of, like, not enjoying a game. Like, I have to say, my wife, I know I'm going off the topic a little bit, but my wife is great at it. Like, we'll play a game and she won't like it, and we'll still have fun playing it that one time. We don't want to play it again still, but there is that fun, like, when I'm trying to play and be like, yep, nope, we're not playing this again. But we'll enjoy that. What else you think for teaching and playing games with kids?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the thing that's coming, I mean, it's definitely not easy all the time, mm-hmm. which is the thing, right. like, definitely be aware of that. Like, if you're looking to play with kids, the attention span is tough, like, at certain points, and just, you know, like you said, like, being able to just say, we're done, we're not playing this, like,
yeah.
I think that's really key. I don't know. I know there are a couple sides to that where, you know, some people really don't want to play with kids at all. And I can see that, like, because, you know, it's not the same sort of taxation on your brain. And it definitely feels to me a lot more like it's a lot more effort to go into a kid's game if there's that fight back. Like, if they're not wanting to be there, or, you know, or even if they get, like, a little distracted or whatnot, like, there's definitely that that element to it. But, you know, it's definitely rewarding once you yes. turn that corner right. and you're playing games, you know, you've broken through that barrier and now you do have that structure. And I think for me personally, like, playing games is very enjoyable, because I like kind of, you know, overviewing, like, seeing the circumstances that I'm in. I like kind of being aware of that and trying to see how everything's going within the game system. So even if I'm not winning, if I can recognize how, you know, how something has transpired or something, or, like,
right.
even if I can say, like, okay, well, I'm not going to win this game because, you know, this person's doing really well or whatnot. Like, I think there's some enjoyment to be had from that. And I think I don't know if I was that, if I realized that at the very beginning of my gaming state. Like, I feel like you need to go through that winning and losing a little bit to get to that point where it's enjoyable either way.
Yes.
So I think, you know, some of that groundwork goes into it to, like, to get to a point where, you know, the hobby does continue to thrive and the community expands once that next generation is working its way up and getting to the point where they start, like, they start winning on a regular basis and playing those heavier Euros and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, it's definitely, you know, it's a fun sort of commitment to, like, to keep going with the hobby. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I guess it's just, it's definitely not for everyone. And if you're not into it, like, don't, don't be afraid to shy away. Like, I think with a 2 year old specifically too, like, it's something that I want to be doing now because, you know, my situation's changed a little bit. Like, it's, I can see that value there, and it's something where, you know, I'm looking forward to stuff down the road, but it's not like I'm not trying to rush to it.
Yeah, it's tough, right? Like, when it's your hobby or you're in the business, like basically we are, you especially, but me doing media, it's hard. Like, you've got to kind of draw that line between this is a positive activity for us to do together that most families play games together, but it's also my, like, obsessive hobby, and I don't want you to have my hobby. You can pick a hobby of your own, and we can do those things together. But at the same time, I want to play some games sometime, you know what I mean? Just casual family play a game and kind of making that line. My last thing I think that's key playing with kids is almost you were going into that, but, like, it's rewarding for me.
Right.
Kids bring such an exuberance. So, you know, my daughter teaches me to play the same game 10 times, 20 times, and enjoy it just as much the 20th time as I did maybe the second or third time. Or to enjoy a game that I don't enjoy because I'm playing with somebody I enjoy playing with. But it was kind of what you're saying, enjoying a game even when I'm losing.
Yeah.
So I struggle most on the losing on the 3 hour game that at the 1 hour and 45 minute mark looks pretty hopeless for me. I struggle in those still, like, how do I stay this another hour and 15 minutes? Like, I'm out. But, you know, to be like, well, this isn't really one of my top games, but she's enjoying it so much and wants to play with me, so I'm having fun playing this game. And even playing that, you know, 20-something times, whatever, is really neat. And then I just think of, like, ultimate rewarding for me, like, I'll never forget the experience of playing Pandemic Legacy with my daughter. Mm-hmm. Like, the two of us sat down and played 14 games, I think we lost twice, of Pandemic Legacy Season 1. And we have a story that nobody else was part of. It's our story. We know what happened. My wife heard a lot of it at dinner time. Right after we finish a game, we would give her a lot of what happened in the game. But, like, that's Zephyr and my story. And we know what happened in that game. And not once for 30 minutes, but 14 times for an hour or 45 minutes to an hour. You know what I mean? Right. We have all those stories and that experience that we went through together, which is so cool. To me, like a family vacation. You know, like, we were away, we did all these things, and we remember all those places we saw. So, yeah, maybe it's weird and people say that's dumb, but, like, my DC trip and Pandemic Legacy with my daughter are two memorable experiences I have with her, you know, that we'll always remember growing up. So just that reward that I get back from doing all those things is super cool. So,
yeah, and I know, like, there are some games too where, you know, I thought I was done. Like, I'd played Bang the Dice Game a few times at the store with adult gamers. I thought I was done with that. I didn't want to touch that game again. I didn't enjoy it. And then, you know, broke it out for the kids group, and it went over really well. It went well. And I found myself, like, wanting to play it again, but in that setting, you know, not something I'm going to be bringing out to, like, the meetup groups or anything like that. But it was fun within that setting where we're just having fun, not caring about, like, be min-maxing stuff and trying to, like, you know, make the perfect move every time. Like, we were just having fun shooting whoever we wanted to, and, like, you know, the dice fell as they did. So
yeah, the game was the fun, not the game or the winning.
The game was fun, not the winning part. Yeah. So
yeah, and I should mention, I talked a lot about playing with my family or with my own daughter, but also using games in education a mm-hmm. whole bunch, and just to see kids, like, for a moment of time, school isn't the worst thing that they've ever done in their life. Like, it's not right. a torture chamber for 15 minutes part of one day when they're playing these games and having fun, and then to be able to use that. And then just small things, like, to see kids be able to, like, even students, like, high schoolers, to be able to, like, wait and take turns and suggest and help each other out. Like, all that stuff is a big deal for them. Or, like, no lie, I had a senior playing King of Tokyo who couldn't roll dice. And that sounds funny, but, like, she would, like, throw up the dice and they'd go across the board and off on the floor. And this isn't the person who's like, oh, let me just chuck these across the room. But, like, struggled to roll dice. I don't know if rolling dice is a key skill you need in your life, but it is a coordination thing. Like, right. learning to, like, okay, how do I do this coordinated activity? So it's just cool to be like, oh, I'm teaching you that skill. Like, it's not always I'm teaching you calculus. Like, right. I'm also teaching, or I guess that was statistics. But, like, you're also learning just, hey, competitive play, rolling dice, card, like, even just teaching that level if they haven't had that experience, which I'm sure most of them had, so it's not everybody, but mm-hmm. That was a neat. So I wouldn't say it's just our own kids, but, you know, any kids in general getting a chance to play is really cool, so.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Well, that's our experience teaching and playing games with kids. Let us know what's great for you, playing with your kids, playing with other people's kids, playing with kids you've never met. Whatever it is, let us know. You can email us, portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Alrighty, that's it. Short episode today. That is episode 65, Younglings, playing games with kids and whatnot. A lot coming up, Ryan. Fall is busy. How's things looking at the store?
Good. We're getting everything ordered and ready for the holidays. So, you know, I've got 3 meetings this week to go sit down with sales reps and go through like 20 or so lines of toys and signs and games, all that sort of stuff. Right. So we're getting ready and getting a lot of stuff in too. So.
Nice. So the Christmas trees are all up in the store and the fake snow and everything is here.
I haven't hit Halloween decorations yet, so we'll get there, though.
It is funny to go to those stores, and it's like, you know, it's like the afternoon of Halloween now. They're like, all right, all the candy's done. They're setting up Christmas. Like, it's days before Halloween even hit. They're ready
yeah,
to go.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like, yeah.
Yeah, no.
Halloween doesn't do anything from, like, a...
yeah, no, time machine's not. I don't really know all that stuff, but it's pretty cool. All right, well, that is episode 65. Thank you, everybody, as always, for listening. We will talk to you soon. Until next time, I am your host, The Brant.
And I am Brian.
And we hope you step into the portal. Portal Game Podcast is a product of Time Machine Toy and Hobby Store / The Portal, which is located at 71 and 60 Hilliard Street in Manchester, Connecticut. This episode was recorded on October 3rd, 2017. Please send any questions to us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Portal Gaming Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. For more awesome podcasts, visit www.dicetowernetwork.com. Thanks for listening.